What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly. It is now December 1st. It is insane. Well, it'll be December 2nd for you guys when you hear it. Crazy to think that this year's fucking over. Mason, how are you, bud?
I'm fucking great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Not gonna lie. I got my Spotify yearly wrap up, so I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's always a fun time of the year when that pops back up and you can kind of, fuck it. Let's just get into it now. So like, it's either like super bad where you can't share it, cause then people are like, what the fuck's wrong with you? If you like care and shit, or it's like fire as fuck. Like you finally have a good mix, or you're like me and Limp Bizkit just runs the entirety of this year's top fives.
Yeah, no, I've had some weird ones in the past. I think we've talked about it previously. I know we have privately. I have a very broad range of musical taste. I listened to 1,200 different artists this year. I listened to 118 different genres according to Spotify because everything has its own little subgenre now. But yeah, no, I mean, I love when it comes out. It's always interesting to kind of see what you're doing. And then the playlist comes out and you kind of listen to songs that maybe you were listening to in January and it kind of brings back some memories like, Oh, that's going on here. Oh yeah, I remember when that was going on. So it's pretty interesting. So what was your top five artists, Corey?
Top five artists, and pull it up real quick. God, I hope the music doesn't start playing again. Top five artists, I got Limp Bizkit, number one. Turnstile, because the new album is so good. Attack just put out an EP, and I unfortunately listened to it on just looped and looped and looped and looped on a road trip. Descendants, because Descendants were coming to New Orleans. And Millington, which is this, I think it's a one-piece band. It's just one guy that does like pop punk, ska music. He's really fucking good. He did like an EP that was like a bunch of like old OG emo songs from like the mid-2000s. So yeah, I guess I burned the fuck out of that. Really depressing album, but it makes sense. I mean, I was sat up for an entire year, so I was listening to some sadder shit.
Enough.
What about you? What was your top five?
My top five was, like I said, the most Gen Z thing ever. Number one was the Kid Laroi, who I'm sure most people have heard of. Number two was Kid G, who you might not sound like it and might not believe me, is a country artist.
Kid
who
G
is 19 years old. Yeah, Kid G. He's a country artist. He's the one that did he got a country song. Lil Uzi liked it. So Lil Uzi Vert hopped on a fucking country song for a remix. It was pretty sick.
Oh.
Number three is Machine Gun Kelly. who is always up there for me. Absolutely love him. I think his new rock stuff's been awesome. I know Corey and Richie agree with me. Fucking Arizona podcast. They fucking love him. Corey went to a MGK concert a couple months ago. I was really jealous of her. Number four, I had NF, who, Corey, are you familiar with NF?
I mean, I've probably heard of this.
He's the guy that was like, I'm sorry that I let you down. That guy?
Mate, I don't know.
Maybe. He did lie. Anyway, pretty big artist.
Maybe. I'm sure there was like, it was like a TikTok song for a bit that I knew.
No, not a TikTok song. Been in the game since before TikTok, radio. Kind of a, anyway, I was actually supposed to go to his, concert in March of 2000 or April of 2020. But guess what happened around that time? Ooh. And then number five, I had Juice WRLD, and
Juice WRLD. Okay.
Love Juice WRLD. So.
So does my wife.
Oh, he's awesome. A big
Juice WRLD fan.
Although I'm a little scared because last year Juice was my number one, and then he died. And the year before it was X, and he died. And the year before that was Lil Peep. So hopefully the kid Leroy isn't cursed by me.
You shit on me for fucking Jeff Beecher's career. You're killing kids.
Like, yeah, you don't want to be at the top of my Spotify Wrapped.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, dude, I hate to say it because it makes, you know, it's like making sense that I'm just getting older, but like, I guess new music, I don't really give a fuck about. Like, I like my artists, they get older, they either come back or they end, and then they like make a second band or some shit. Like, I find new stuff, you know, but I guess it's got to be within like my genres. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a big, like, I'm more on the punk side of pop punk, you know, but like, I like, I grew up with like metalcore and fucking Nintendo core shit and all the other cores and the post hardcore, you know, like that was just the shit that was down here. So I guess like that still stuck with me. I like rap. I fuck with country. I like some older country. I'm surprised Glenn Campbell wasn't in my top five, you know, but like, I don't know, dude, like radio stuff is just not my jam anymore. My radio stuff was like Ice Cream Paint Job, you know, if you even remember that, like Lil Wayne and stuff, you know, like that was the radio when I was like big on it. And that shit doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, no, like I said, I have 1200 different artists. I'm not really a person that's confined to one genre. We were talking before we started. I have Beck and Sum 41. And then you scroll down, I've got Pink Floyd, Jason Aldean, and Thomas Rhett right underneath it, which then transitions into the Kid Leroy. Like, I will listen to absolutely anything if I like it.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm kind of the same way. It's just, unfortunately, my Spotify this year is lacking just because I was hurt. So, like, I'm just sitting at home, and I'm not necessarily just, like, when I work, all I do is listen to music. So while I was at home, I was like, I have a video game. I'm just going to play way too many video games and stuff, you know?
I think,
like, it took a devastating music hit.
I mostly listen to music when I'm driving.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And when I'm driving,
I can't drive without music.
No, but like, I think my genre has changed depending on where I am. If I'm in the car, it's either rap or it's country music. Like, nothing, I sound so hillbilly, nothing beats driving down a back road on like 12 in the afternoon on a sunny day in the country listening to country music. Like, nothing beats that. So I think
we pull out the country when we go fishing and shit a lot. That's
just feeding into the stereotype.
But I mean, come on, dude. Like, I forgot what song it is, but it's so fire. It's like, I'm going to sound stupid. Someone's going to know it and be like, wow, why is this slipping his mind? But it's like a song about fishing or like getting divorced and the man decided to go fishing. But what's his name? Post Malone did this like Texas relief thing back when it like snowed really bad last year. and he covered that song, and we blast that fucking shit. It is so fucking good.
So fire. He's a great artist.
Yeah, he's really good.
That guy did stuff with Ozzy Osbourne too.
Yeah, he's got a song featuring Ozzy. Then he's on an Ozzy Osbourne song where you get to hear him scream a little bit because he originally, I mean, I'm sure this wasn't his original idea, but like before he even like got big as like a you know, a rapper, or I mean, fuck, he's pretty universal. He's better than just rap. But he tried out for this fucking band that I guess is pretty popular. They weren't my favorite band, but I thought it was sick as fuck because this dude's like, he's just like a Renaissance man of all genres. He tried out for Crown the Empire, which is like, I don't even know what subgenre to put him in. We'll call it like fucking pop punk meets like metalcore maybe. And because he can play the guitar, he's really fucking good at the guitar. Also, obviously an amazing singer, really good screamer. You don't hear it a lot, but they told him that he wasn't like the image they were looking for, which is fucking stupid. Cause that band would be as big as like, you know, like Axe and Alexandria or like Bring Me the Horizon. Maybe Bring Me the Horizon is kind of a long shot, but I mean, like if you look at the career Post Malone's having, imagine if he was the front man or at least the guitarist slash singer for this fucking band, it would have blew them into fucking orbit like he did himself. Now he's just out there fucking rapping, having fun, making fire ass music, and they slap on him. So I always thought that was a cool fucking thing about him, is that this dude literally went to be in like a, you know, like a metal-ish band and was like, they didn't want me. So I just changed genres and now I'm like on top of the fucking world.
Oh, fair enough. But I don't know what to add. I think you hit the nail on the head. And speaking of, I guess, kind of getting more back on track, as 2020 wraps up, we get our Spotify wrapped, and we also kind of get a better idea of where teams are going to be come the trade deadline in February, what teams are going to be looking to do, what the season is going to look like. And Montreal, I think now more than ever, in a weird sense, I think we kind of know the direction they're going, but I think the water is also a little bit murky right now. And it'll be interesting to hear what Jeff Gorton has to say. Unfortunately, things have been really poorly timed for us this week. We had our last podcast before the first game, and we're having this podcast before the first interview. So it'll get released as this is released. So it'll be a little out to date. But that is just the way of the world. So it'll be really interesting to see what Jeff Gorton has to say. I'm sure we'll get more of a directive, more of a viewpoint on where he plans to take this team, this organization in the coming years. And I'm just really excited. Like there seems to be so many options this team could go. If they go full rebuild, they could do a retool. I say retool and, you know, might give scary flashbacks to Mark Bergevin. But what I mean by that is there are prospects in place. So a long-term rebuild of 5 years may not be required. It could be two or three, right?
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what Jeff Gorton kind of plans on doing here. And I have to ask, you are Jeff Gorton, Corey. The keys have been handed to you. We've talked about the candidates in our last episode. We talked about the prospects. We haven't talked about a lot of draft eligibles this year, but it looks like we're going to have to start doing some scouting on that front because we're going to be drafting pretty high. And, well, I guess the final question is, you're Jeff Gorton. What do you do? Where are you taking this team? What are the moves you're making? And what general manager are you hiring?
Okay, so this is pretty crazy. So I don't know if you saw this, but Gorton also said that he would be working hand in hand with the GM. So he will be making picks alongside, making moves for this team alongside the GM a lot more than just like whatever the GM's role is going to be. You know, obviously he's also going to be doing that job as well. So I think that's pretty cool. It almost is like, I mean, yeah, it's, I'm sure it's common, but like, it reminds me of like old, like Iron League stuff where like the coach is also a fucking player, like a Reggie Dunlop from Slapshot. But
it's my understanding that Jeff Gordon is going to wear the pants. Now, that might eliminate some candidates. Matthew Darche, for example, I'm not sure he would want to leave an organization such as Tampa if he's not the one that gets the final call. And
because, I mean, he's, what is he over there? He's like a, an assistant right? GM. Yeah. So he's basically could come to Montreal and still have an assistant GM role with just a regular GM slapped over it, you know?
I think the only thing that is really unknown with Jeff Gordon is kind of the openness of his job title.
Right.
Is he going to be the guy with the final say? Now, I am no insider. The insiders have made their own opinions. They've said their own thing. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen their opinions. You probably, you're probably invested in hockey, so you know what they've had to say. And but my opinion, really, they're all kind of concerned about the executive, whatever. Look, Jeff Gordon was busy doing absolutely nothing, spending time with his family, collecting millions of dollars from the New York Rangers.
He's going to step away from a easier, like less work role to a bigger role that's going to take him away from, like, you know, his leisure time.
Yeah, he was making millions for doing nothing.
Going golfing.
I do not believe that he would have come to Montreal if he did not have a significant amount of power, right? Now, do I think the general manager is going to make moves that maybe Gordon doesn't have to oversight? Yeah, sure. That's up to him.
I was going to say, I think that comes with it being the guy he wants, you know? Like, if we end up getting someone that is not necessarily like on team Gordon, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the best available. Yeah, they will be. But like, say it's between the person he wants and then Molson and his little group decides that it's the other candidate, right?
I don't know. I just don't think Molson's going to do that. Molson, we didn't give enough credit to. And I don't know if you watched that interview, Corey. He struck me as a leader. Like, yeah,
I like that he said that that this there needed to be a rebuild. And he said not maybe necessarily in players, but management had to be reconstructed. And it was like, holy fuck. Like, we've been shitting on him. Like, it's taken too long. But, I mean, fuck, he's saying what we've been asking, you know. And it felt like he was trying to give momentum and, like, a sense of urgency and change in that message. And it was really good.
No, and I loved what he had to say about mental health. Clearly, Jeff Molson has, you know, looked around. We had a player with Jonathan Drouin who went out and I choked over my French accent there. Jonathan Drouin went out with his mental health issues. We had Carey Price do the same this year. And clearly, Molson's looking around and saying, look, I've taken stock of the situation and we're going to do something to fix that. That's a leader. And he also came out and said publicly that he wanted to wait until Marc Bergevin had recovered from COVID-19 before he fired him. And you know, that's class. A lot of organizations, a lot of owners would not have done that. And you know, we're talking about Jeff Gordon. Look what happened there. The owner, what's his name? That piece of shit who owns the Knicks.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Knicks owner.
James Dolan. James Dolan doesn't give a shit. That guy fires people. He kicks fans out of his fucking stadiums for heckling him.
I know it's not a GM, but like the coach who got fucking fired right after the game and they didn't even give him like a ride. He had to like Uber.
Who is that?
I forgot. If I'm not mistaken, it's like, I think it might have been Gallant.
Was that with New York?
I don't think it was with
New York. No, that was Gallant.
Was it Gallant? Was it with...
Was that with Vegas?
I feel like it was. It wasn't as recent as Vegas, but I remember it was like headlines. Like, we were like, how fucking gutless.
I remember that. That's horrible. But to get down to my point, look, I think that's a very classy move from Jeff Molson. I think he's stepped up. He's been a leader here. And I am confident that he will give Jeff Gorton the ability to choose who he wants. It seems to me he really did his research. He also said, like, this is a man that I think is Molson I'm talking about, mm-hmm. in many ways different than Bergevin, because a few years ago, he said, when asked about promoting a president of hockey operations, he said, Mark Bergevin is one of the most experienced general managers in the hockey league, in the National Hockey League. He does not need a president of hockey operations. And Molson came back and said, look, we've seen how it's gone here. It's a very big job in Montreal. It takes a lot out of you. It was my mistake. We need two people. Like, for me, I know Jeff Molson is, for the most part, a pretty hands-off owner. I don't think he makes many of the decisions, especially regarding hockey, except who's running it. And to me, it looks like he's really learned from his time as owner with Mark Bergevin, with, I think he was the owner with Pierre Gauthier and Bob Gainey. It seems to me he's kind of learned, and I like that he's taken those lessons and kind of moved on, and we're looking like we're going to have a brighter future. And I do think Jeff Molson, who, as we said, is hands off, but I do think that he's going to deserve a little bit of credit here if Jeff Gorton can get this team moving, because he's gone out and he's evaluated the situation and he's, you know, listened and made some changes for the better. And I think looking back and looking at who's available right now, Jeff Gorton, I think, might have been the best man available for the job.
Right. Back to your question. For me, though, I'm thinking, so, you know, the only thing that comes with Matthew Darche, though, to kind of bring that full circle, is that the fact that he hasn't, you know, he's just been an assistant GM. Maybe this could be a good, you know, like, stepping stone into the next level. Whereas, you know, if they do go with, like, Matthew Darche, you're getting someone from Tampa Bay, 2 years there. Team's been successful. He's been given a great opportunity there. He comes here and he gets to be guided with someone like Gorton, who, yeah, wants to hold a partial bit of the reins, but it could be a great, you know, it could be like a great turning, a great training mechanism to help someone like Matthew Darche, who hasn't really had the full role of GM yet, like, kind of baby step into it. And, you know, and to, you know, by the next season or whatever, maybe a little bit more roles go to said GM, you know, and Gorton can kind of take, I wouldn't say a backseat, but wouldn't have to do as much. You know, I feel like I like that Gordon's getting a lot of it, because to me, it sounds like he wants to make sure he makes the right choice. And he doesn't have a problem almost like training, you know, like a really good fucking manager should do.
I think it's going to be a partnership.
Yeah. That being said, I think someone like, obviously, like a Martin Madden Jr., he's a lot more experienced, I think. But I don't necessarily see him having a problem dealing with a partnership, like you're saying, as someone like like Patrick Waugh. You know, or Patrick Waugh would look at it as, okay, you know, maybe the same situation with, like I said, with Matthew Darche. You know, maybe he comes in, gets a little bit of help along the way, you know, can kind of like, you know, piggyback off of him, use his shoulders to help him up, you know, like become the best GM he can. Whereas like we saw Mark Bergevin took years to get, you know, I mean, he got 9 years to be a GM. The first couple was just like throwing darts, you know, granted the last couple were like that, but maybe, you know, giving the option to Gordon to actually mentor almost could be really good. It could even make someone like Patrick Waugh doable. I mean, Patrick Waugh just had a statement that said he, I know I'm not the biggest fan of it, but he vocally was very adamant about, you know, his possibility with this team I don't want to go that route necessarily.
The guy basically said, why not me? Why not? Like, I don't know about.
I still think the top two is Matthew Darche and Martin Madden Jr.
Personally, I'm all for Martin Madden Jr. I absolutely fucking love what Anaheim has done. Look at that young core. They drafted Troy Terry, who did anyone see this coming? Like, anyone at all?
No.
I certainly did not. Jamie Drysdale, who, yes, fell into their laps because the Sens are fucking stupid. Jake Sanderson's not better. Shut the fuck up, Shane. Trevor Zegras, and another, like, that guy is going to be money. Sam Steele looks amazing. Maxime Comtois is going to most definitely make an impact on this team for years to come. I'm trying to – let me pull up.
While you're doing that, I still think that he's not highly being talked about, but that connection between Gordon and Daniel Briere, I think that's something that could be legitimate. I blanked on it last episode, but EHL's Maine Mariners, he's the GM, the vice president of hockey operations and team president. This is just Daniel Briere. I don't know if this team's fucking amazing or not, but you got someone who's laying down the ropes to do almost essentially what Gordon's doing, but at a lower level. They've worked together in the past. It was that New York, you know, bond, like I just mentioned. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like that comes up, you know, someone he's probably worked with or at least known in the past that is doing basically the same thing at a smaller level, getting his chance to come up. I wouldn't mind seeing a brand new face.
No.
What we're going to get. Like, there's not really one person here that's, you know, a former GM.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of why I want Martin Madden Jr. so badly, because I think with Daniel Briere, you don't really know what his juice is. You don't really know what he's going to do. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad executive. And while new and young talent is exciting, you could get a Ducharme situation where everyone was really excited, but no one really knew a lot about him.
Right.
And look what we've gotten with Martin Madden Jr. Look, I know he's not the GM, but like I said, Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, Mason McTavish is in that prospect pool. He looks fucking amazing. Jamie Drysdale. Sasha Pastajov is leading the OHL in goals this season. An absolute steal. Jacob Perreault scored 39 goals in 57 games for the Sarnia Sting. He's in that prospect pool. They have Lucas Dostal, the goalie. They have Sam Colangelo, who is an absolute stud. This team, the future for the Anaheim Ducks looks pretty golden. And if you don't know some of those players, like I'm thinking most of those guys I don't really have to elaborate on because they're pretty high name they're pretty well-known prospects, and the Ducks stole them in the NHL entry.
Well, I mean, Martin Madden, I know we just kind of talked about it, but he was the head of amateur scouting. And this is during the years when they got Kyle Palmieri, Sammy Vatanen, Cam Fowler, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Rickard Rakell, John Gibson, William Karlsson, Josh Manson, Hampus Lindholm, and Frederik Andersen.
And he was on that team as well?
What's up?
And he was...
He was the head of amateur scouting for the Ducks when.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's a Martin Madden should be our number one pick. Like, you know, someone who's got a great mind for amateur scouting that has also, I mean, fuck, that was just, I think that was his starting role with the team. And now he's the assistant general manager.
If I'm not wrong, I believe Anaheim has the highest, if not one of the highest first round selection, like games played in his time. Mm-hmm. And so do you know what year he was hired?
No, I don't. But 12 years ago was when he was, not 12 years. He was the head of amateur scouting for 12 years.
And okay. So guys such as Kyle Palmieri, Vatanen, Fowler, Emerson Eaton, Devontae Smith-Pelly, who made a pretty good career of it. So, like, you know, not big name guy. Rickard Rakell, John Gibson, William Karlsson, Josh Manson was a sixth round draft pick, and he's a pretty solid defenseman. You already mentioned Freddie and Lindholm. Who else? Shea Theodore. Nick Ritchie, Brandon Montour, Andre Cache, the list goes on and on and on, right? Like, yeah. this
guy has found
knows how to draft.
Like, yeah, I'm all aboard Martin Madden Jr., dude.
Oh, I am too, and I think it would be a perfect role because I don't know. I know.
Okay, he joined the Ducks in 2008. But he started as a scout in the NHL in 98, working with the Rangers and then Carolina. So this guy's got extensive work of developing the futures of the Rangers, Carolina, and the Ducks. And he just landed with the Ducks and was able to move up, you know.
And do you know what year he was with Carolina?
No, I don't, but I went to do a little research on him. There's not a lot out there. You really can't find shit about Martin Mann and Madden Jr.
Well, because he's been a guy in the background, right?
Yeah.
Drafting and et cetera. But if we're talking about Carolina, that's another team that built itself through the draft. That 2006 Stanley Cup run had a bunch of drafted players. Stall,
well, look, I'm guessing he's with Carolina at that time because he didn't come to the Ducks till 08. And it's the only two teams that I'm seeing was the Rangers, Carolina, and then he went to the Ducks, and he's been with the Ducks ever since. So I'm guessing he had a strong hand in Carolina's, you know, build.
No, I would certainly assume so. And
Martin Madden Jr.
To get back to my point, sorry, I think Jeff Gorton is certainly a guy who we know chooses to and is very willing to build through the draft. That is what he does. That's how he wants to build his teams. That's how teams should be built. But I can also say, and it's not a criticism, the guy had two lottery picks. He had pretty easy selections. Lafreniere, number one, Kapokako, number two in recent years. I think having a guy like Martin Madden Jr. with the expertise in scouting, especially when our head scout has been fired, would be very beneficial for this team.
Right? I think absolutely. And imagine if we get these two if we were able to snag Martin Madden from the Ducks before we even have like a full scouting, you know, like to bring in new head of scouting and stuff like that. You got two confident people or people that the fans can be confident in that know what they're doing that are even higher than just head of scouting, you know? So like, it's not how we felt like, where the fuck did this pick of, dude, we just talked about him last week. Logan Merlot. Said Merlot. But like, you know, like how we were all fucking baffled and shit. Like if that came from the top, at least if we have these two guys, I don't see them making just a whim call. I think they're going to, like, you're dealing with two former heads of scouting. I think that is a great place to imagine the Habs having in the helm of, you know, the future.
No, definitely. Either way, I'm excited.
I hope we get Madden. I think
Darsh is good. I thought you were on Matthew Darsh when we started this.
Look, I mean, I said Matthew Darsh, and maybe I was leaning that way. I've just learned information while we've been talking, and I think Martin Madden Jr., like, I think the top two picks is Martin Jr. and then Darsh. And then Briere, real low, that's a possibility. And then the Patrick Waugh is the media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Matt Waugh is not an option in my
book. But no, I think it was so much easier to find information on Darsh. So maybe I initially, like, from last night when I was looking at stuff, maybe I, like, swayed more his way just because I had more knowledge about him. But now I'm finding new stuff on Matt and – God, Matt and Martin.
Martin Madden.
that he's like the better of the logical choices, at least as far as, like, what we wish we would get is, like, you know, the ability to draft really well and then fucking develop said drafted kids.
Speaking of the draft and prospects, two Habs prospects have been invited to Canada's training camp. Caden Gooley, who is almost assuredly going to be on the team, and Joshua Waugh, who currently leads not just the QMJHL, but the CHL in points. He has 39 points in 21 games. So he's in a three-way tie, but he has less games played. So therefore he's given number one place. Absolutely amazing season from the fifth round pick just a year ago. He was in our fifth round.
That is such a great depth pick.
Already doing more than I think Logan Mello will ever do for this organization. And I sincerely hope he makes this Canada team. It'd be very, very, very fun to watch him play. He's a very fast, very quick player. But I also want to talk about the draft, Corey. I don't know. I do know that you are not as interested in prospects as I am.
It's not that I'm not interested. I think you had a lot more time than I did originally.
Yep.
Mason, I don't mean to cut you off, but before we get into that, so I don't forget it later, we have a ad read by our sponsors, DraftKings. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainers from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get on an all-the-action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Remember, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets if they score. You score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, the $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the draft talk.
No, it's a perfect interjection. We're talking about drafts. We might as well talk about our wonderful sponsor, DraftKings.
But if you're betting on football, do not bet on the Saints-Cowboys game tomorrow. It's going to be terrible.
Don't fucking ever put your money on Miami. They've won 3 games in a row. It's a facade. They will let you down.
Oh, well.
And back to the WHL, where I want to talk about Matthew Savoie, the phenomenal centerman for the Winnipeg Ice. speedy, exceptional skater. The kid has 39 points in 23 games played, is leading the league in points. Now, I do think it's important to kind of put this out there and interject that the top four players leading scorers in the WHL are all on the Winnipeg Ice, and six of the top eight are on the Winnipeg Ice.
Wow.
So this is a
so Winnipeg's going to suck after this year.
Well, Matt Savoie's a rookie. I would assume he's in the NHL next year, but you never know.
Right.
And he is the one of two rookies in the WHL who are in the top 20 in scoring. The other is Jacob Dermack, who is 19th on the Edmonton Oil Kings. And he will be a future teammate of Caden Gooley. Caden Gooley was traded to the Edmonton Oil Kings, I believe today as we're making this recording. Yep, from the Prince Albert Raiders for a monster haul. Two very solid young players, two first round picks, a fifth and a sixth are all going to Prince Albert in exchange for Caden Gooley.
Wow.
Now, this is chain of events. Caden Gooley is 11th in defenseman in point scoring right now. He's got 15 points in 17 games. He's played a few less games than everybody else, so he's actually doing very well, but this will help his production greatly. The Prince Albert Raiders are one of, to put it nicely, they're not a very good team, okay? They score 1.6 goals per game. Their play style is a little bit Julian-esque. They don't like offense. And I think this is really going to help Caden Gooley a lot. He's going to be able to activate into the play more. He is already before I elaborate on that, I recommend watching a great piece by Epic Rinkside on Caden Gooley. They have a video out on YouTube breaking out his defensive game breaking down his defensive game. I apologize. And they're the experts. Honestly, they can do a much better job than I can. But a lot of you guys would know, and it has been common knowledge, he is going to be a stud defensively. He is possibly one of the best shutdown defensemen in his age group. He will be probably the best at that in the World Juniors this year. But he does have an offensive upside. He's not just a shut guys down. And this is why he draws so many comparisons to Shea Weber. Caden Gooley's a monster. You come across the blue line, you get knocked on your ass. He's got a great stick, but he is also mobile. So playing with guys like Dylan Gunther, who was a very, very, very good player, and I believe ninth overall by the Arizona Coyotes last year. Very high octane player. Jake Neighbors, another World Junior hopeful for the Canadian team. This team has a lot more offensive capability. I think it's going to help Gooley a lot. And I think this is like one of the most exciting times as a Habs fan in terms of defensive prospects. Not only do we get to watch Jordan Harris and James Struble, we also now get to watch Caden Gooley. If you have the time, or at least check out his stats, because he's going to be putting up some monster numbers, hopefully, for the Edmonton Oil Kings.
Oh, yeah. Dude, great coverage.
Had to catch my breath there, rambled on a little long. But, yeah, no, Caden Gooley to the Oil Kings, really exciting. I'm, like, very excited about this. I think it's a little sad because those Prince Albert Raiders jerseys are fucking sexy, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
But I'm really excited to watch. I don't know if the U.S. covers theirs. Canada will have coverage of their games. There will be a red versus white game that will be televised on TV. So we'll get to watch Caden Gooley and Joshua Waugh play each other. At least we usually are. I'm not sure what they're doing this year. Yeah, they usually cover it, and you get to see who's going to make the team. But yeah, that should be really exciting. Hopefully we have two Habs prospects able to compete for Canada. It always makes watching the World Juniors a little more exciting when you've got you know, someone coming
people over to the root for.
Yeah, rooting for them.
And well, more than just your country. You know.
What's that?
I said more than just, you know, rooting for your country, someone that's gonna be, you know, hopefully a future star on your team.
No, definitely. And another player we get to root for is Jan Mišák, who I think we all know is one of my personal favorites. Has 15 goals in 19 games for the Hamilton Bulldogs, 28 points this year, and is on an absolute tear right now. In his last five games, he has 11 points. He's going off. He's always fun to watch. He'll probably be the captain of the Czech team at the World Juniors this year, so that should be exciting to watch.
Hell yeah, bud.
Yeah, it's going to be a bright future, to say the least. I'm really excited for not only
the Czech team kind of fell apart last year, but Mišák was definitely fun to watch.
Oh,
I think they didn't have enough pieces to really, you know, make a challenge.
Well, the Czechs always have the issue of they're better than the Stinkers. They're better than Denmark.
The Stinkers.
They are. They're better than Denmark. They're better than the Slovaks, usually, although that's usually a good game. Shit. They're better than Switzerland most years. They're never going to get relegated. But the top five are monsters: Canada, the U.S., Russia, Sweden, and Finland. And the Czechs always have a hard time breaking in there.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, it's tough if you're a Czech fan. If you're a Canadian and you get to watch. But look, I've got to say, I am so excited to watch Canada get its revenge on the U.S. this year. Last year was painful.
You were very boisterous last year. I'm sure I butchered that word, but you were talking some mad shit. And it was just me, poor me, Neil, and fucking like one other, oh, and Hockey Trolls and Pauly Cupcakes against the entirety of THPN's Canada.
Listen, okay? Listen. We're not going down this year. We lost once. I can admit to.
Not gonna lie, we lost a lot of really good talent going into the, you know, the NHL this year. But we'll see. We'll see. I love World Juniors. It's so fun. It's like watching college football.
I like the World Juniors more than I like the Olympics, to be honest with you. Even with NHL players, I think the World Juniors has an amazing atmosphere.
Right. And there's just so much more to prove, you know, like these kids are trying. There's still a love for the game. And I mean, I know that there's a love for the game when you get into the NHL, but, you know, it also comes with money, you know, and money can change a lot of things. But these kids are the rising stars, the future of the game, you know, and this is their chance to excel and show it on like highly televised, you know, and then you're playing for your country, you know, what better feeling?
U.S. only has one drafted goalie this year, however, second-rounder Drew Comesso. The other three are 2022 NHL draft eligibles.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Nice or exploited when fucking Shane Wright streaks down the wing.
You never know. These kids might make a name of themselves. Fucking highlight of the year. Stopping Shane Wright.
I certainly hope not.
Well, we'll see in the future, bud. When are those games coming up?
They'll be right after Christmas, January.
Nice.
No. And with that, I think that'll end our episode today, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, I think this is a really good episode. There's a player I need to add to my fantasy real quick. So I'm good.
You're itching to get there, so I won't keep you.
I gotta pick up Jeff Petrie again.
Don't you fucker. Don't you dare pick up Jeff Petrie. Actually,
I dropped him.
Quick highlight to that pass that Jonathan Drouin gave to the Habs. We just honestly we forgot to talk about the game, and there is an
explanation. Ryan Poehling needs to stay on this team.
Yeah, well, that game was painful, okay? Mm-hmm. Other than our young guys who shone, I thought that was one of Romanov's...
13 giveaways before the end of the second period.
Romanov played amazing and Jake Allen played amazing though. Romanov is going to be on our top pair next year. I am utterly convinced. If Dominic Ducharme does not have his way, this kid is dynamic. But without further ado, that'll be it for Habs Nightly today. Thank you guys for stopping by, listening to our Wednesday episode, which always gets a little bit out of hand. But you know what? We have fun and we appreciate you guys listening to it. So if you made it all the way, thank you once again for your continued support. And we'll be going strong into the new year. Maybe, hopefully, we can get a little sneak peek at our Spotify Wrapped if we figure out how to do it. But we're both idiots, so we'll see if that's even possible. And without that, I have nothing else to say. Corey, you can take it out.
I think I'm the bigger idiot of the two. But, folks, this has been Habs Nightly. We'll talk to you all again on Monday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.